Okay,
I was born ready.
I was more like kindergarten, first grade, before I realized I was ready.
You always have something to say right as I'm getting ready to say welcome.
I think it's people expect it now.
I think they do. I have no filter or ability to stop what comes out of my mouth.
Just a few minutes ago when you said stop talking for a second, I thought she was going to implode.
My face turned red.
She started like rumbling a little bit.
Asphyxiated.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
All right, so welcome to the Window Light podcast for the unexplained. This is episode 15.
Yes.
Tentatively titled Telling Time.
Oh.
So as we are still in season 2 with our time themed season, we might as well go to the basics here and actually talk about time itself and studying the, or talking about the physical or tangible representation of time, which is the clock. Not wristwatches or things like that, but I'm actually talking about a clock. Are you crying already?
Yeah, clocks get me real choked up.
They get me worked up too.
So, in this episode, we're going to run down several early clocks throughout history, some of the more strange clock styles that there were, some of the different ways of telling time outside of the 60-second minute, 60-minute hour type thing. And the unexplained aspect comes into why does time sometimes feel different internally than it does on what you're seeing on a clock? Why, when you're watching a clock, does time move slower? And just what is it about when we, as a culture, began to feel the need to capture time outside of just the standard knowing the seasons and roughly the time of day? So I figured that's would be a good place to start, right?
Yes.
Agreed.
Good.
Indubitably.
You both seem to be having some trouble sitting on the floor in our new studio. And yes, we are in our new studio here. So if things sound a little different, that would be why. Unfortunately, the chairs that were supposed to be here, or the three-person sofa that was supposed to be here, is not here. So I'm the only one with a chair.
You're lucky that we're late summer gals and we're so young and spry that sitting on the floor for hours is no big deal for us.
It's no problem for us. We got all the time to sit on the floor.
All the time in the world.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves as you're sitting on the floor?
My name is Jamie and I am on the second floor.
My name is Gretchen and I am alongside her on the second floor.
Perfect. And I'm still Coy and I'm on microphone number one. On the eighth floor. Great. So, should we start in with just some bizarre clocks?
Yeah.
Just for fun?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's have some funsies.
The first one that I thought was quirky is the French decimal time. Anybody do any research on that one?
Mm-mm.
So, French decimal time was introduced after the infamous French Revolution. This time system consisted of 10-hour days, 100 minutes an hour, and 100 seconds in a minute. Midday was at 5 o'clock, and midnight was 10 o'clock. It was intended to work in sync with the French Revolutionary calendar in an attempt to de-Christianize France. However, the change was deemed too large and was not needed since the people liked the 24-60-60 time system already in use. And they abandoned the concept just after 6 months.
I could see that.
So then my first question comes in on this. 100 seconds in a minute, 100 minutes in an hour, 10 hours in a day. It's all on the base 10 system. Now, another system that actually is still working, or an option you can still use, is the swatch beat. Swatch. Did anyone ever have a swatch when you were
Younger? I wanted one real bad.
But or
I
currently?
One. I wanted one of those phone swatches, the swatch phones.
Yeah.
You could like flip either way.
Cool. The swatch beat here, it's a day, is divided into 1,000 beats a day. So this was used in a way to eliminate time zones and make time universal across the planet. So time was recorded in beats. An hour was 41.666 beats. A second was 0.01157 beats.
With this system, will I get more sleep or less sleep?
None of these systems are going to affect you getting any more or any less sleep.
How's that? I don't know. I think it sounds like if there's too many numbers involved, I'm going to get confused. Mm-hmm. And so I would just be, I don't know. I would probably just make it up. Like when I first started texting and I didn't have a phone that had the letters. Mm-hmm. I remember I would just like put in some random things so you know that I answered. I feel like I would just say that. I'd be like, yeah, I'll be there in 58 beats, yo. And then you'd never see me because I wouldn't know where to go. Personally, well, maybe you love it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, if you think that's difficult.
I do.
What if we were using the flower clock?
Like some hippies?
The Horologium Florae.
No.
It is a system of using flowers to tell the time. Flowers used are equinoctial flower. A-E-Q-U-I-N-O-C-T-A-L-E-S.
Daisy. That's a daisy.
Okay. Anyway, the types of flowers used are those that only open at a particular time of day.
Oh.
So a person with several of these flowers planted side by side could tell the approximate time of day merely by looking and seeing which flowers were opening and which ones were closing.
Well, I think people did that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, for some stuff. But you're right, yeah. If it was a time of year, like winter, how would you know? Unless you kept them in your house. And then would they work the same if they were inside?
I think in winter, everyone just stayed inside all the time anyway, right? And hid from the cold?
Maybe so.
Yeah, it works if you hide from it. It doesn't sneak up on you.
I think that, but like when we were looking stuff up, I think that's how people did just use the sun and where it was in the sky to determine what time of day it was. They just kind of instinctually knew from doing it all the time. Mm-hmm. Just use their senses more to tell time. And it wasn't also as important to be as specific. You could just say mid-morning, and nobody gave a poo what exactly what time that was.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll dig into that more in a little bit as well. So have you heard about the time of Ave Maria?
Mm-mm.
Also known as Italian time or Julian time. These clocks had a 24 hours on them and a single hand that ran counterclockwise. So the 24th hour was the last hour of the day, and not midnight, but sunset, which marked the beginning of a new day. So essentially you were watching a countdown until the sun set.
That kind of makes sense.
The downside is the clock had to be adjusted as the day got shorter and longer. Napoleon outlawed Italian time in the 18th century and went back to the 24-60-60 time system.
It's a piece of crap. It doesn't work.
This one made my brain hurt. It's called tonal time.
Tonal?
Tonal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Introduced by John Nystrom. It operated on a 16-hour day, just like the hex clock that's used in some computers. The clock had 16 hours, which are represented by the numbers 1 to 9 and 6 other numbers that he invented.
Lord have mercy.
All numbers, both old and new, received new names. Number 9 took number 10's place on the clock, so a new number came after 8. Tonal time was calculated in tims. An hour was divided into 16 minutes or timtons, while a minute was divided into 16 seconds or timsans. 8 was renamed me, and 16 was called ton. So noon was me tims, and midnight was ton tims. The time system came with its own calendar, which was divided into 16 months.
Did you read this in Gulliver's Travels or something?
Nope.
Sounds pretty made up.
Well, it is.
Like he got high and he just put some tim tams and some, dude, 9's going to be 10. You know, got real excited about it.
Well, the reason this clock came to be this tonal clog. And the reason, I think, and I can't find any facts on this, but it makes sense to me, is that at one time, before we started capturing time by using numbers on a clock, the words and the figures of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I don't think their primary purpose was about counting. Like 1, 2, 3s, they represented more than just that. So I think this was a way to strip that away and start letting it seem bigger or larger as it should be, and giving the numbers, the things on the clock, a different name altogether, because those numbers have so much power, you know, especially in symbologies, occult stuff, you know, those numbers mean something. So that kind of could have taken some of that power away from it. And now, like, this clock is just a clock telling me time.
I was, like, interested in, I don't know, like, lately people have been talking about, like, there's more of, I don't know, some certain thing going on in the world, good or bad. And to me, that's just because there's so many more people. So it seems like when there was fewer people in the world, you could keep track of things a little more easily. So, like, when we started becoming more obsessed with time was, like, for the Industrial Revolution. So before that, if you were, like, you know, a master of a shop and you had two apprentices, obviously it would be pretty easy to keep track of their time, you know, or if they showed up for work or whatever. But if you run a factory and there's like 500 workers, you would have to be more accurate with time to make sure people got there on time and got, you know, their productivity and got their lunch and whatever. So that's somewhat recent, but people didn't need to necessarily know exactly what time it was. So, like, old-timey people could just say it's morning, it's mid-morning, it's late morning, you know, it's noon, it's afternoon, it's evening, you know, that they would just look at the sun and know that kind of thing, like about where it was in the sky, about what time it was. So I just think the exact time hasn't been as important as it is now.
Yeah, everything was activity-based or event-based instead of time-based, so you were just working on the activity you were working on and not watching the clock to see when you'd be done.
Right.
You were done when you were done.
Right. And people didn't get paid by the hour. They got paid by the piece, you know, so how much you could get done, not how long you were working. And that's changed too.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, most of us work by the hour.
Yes. So more people in the world is getting smaller. Of course, the Industrial Revolution made the clock a necessity. It was one thing that was invented to measure intervals of time shorter than natural units of time, such as day, the lunar month, and the year, and the passing of the seasons, because that became more important.
Heathens. Bloody heathens.
You know, like we were talking about time earlier, Jamie and I was just saying to me, it's just one of those things that is. Like, I get what we're saying, like people can manipulate it. Obviously, you found all those people that were trying to change it, manipulate it, and come up with new names and new ways of telling it. But in my mind, like for so many people, and maybe Jamie has more to add to this, like about around the world, but it would just happen. Like there is morning and then there is late morning and then there's evening, you know, and and time is going whether we want to admit it or not. Like it's always moving. So like how many of us are thinking about it is what's changed. Like how many more people are concentrating on it is what's different. Not that anything is different about the day. Even when we were younger, before you could keep in touch with people as easily, you know how like you would have to meet somebody and you'd say, you know, I think about like when we went to Busch Gardens when we were younger and you'd meet somebody and you'd actually meet them at Big Ben, you know, at a certain time. And if you miss people, you just missed them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they, if they,
catch them later.
Right. If they weren't there, you'd be like, well, I guess they didn't show up. I'll go do something else. Yeah. And even as recent as like the last 20 years, it's become even more like specific. Like we have to be places at a certain time. And I hate being late. You know, I don't even think about time a lot, but I hate being late. Like to me, if you're on time, you're late. You know, like if you tell somebody you're going to be a certain place, you got to be there. But like what makes me so crazy about that is it just because I'm polite and I want people to say they're going to be where they were, like when they are? Or is it because we grew up in a time where
I think it's because as a culture in America, we are taught that time has value, and it's like you're taking somebody's time away if you don't show up on time.
Right, like your time is more important than their time kind of thing. Because it is important, you know, getting as much done as you can when you can, not putting stuff up, putting stuff off, not being a procrastinator, that those are important things. But the obsession with time and like we were talking about, like time is money, you know, like when did people start saying that? Mm-hmm. Like, has that always been a thing, or is that
probably when we started valuing people's work by the hour?
Not really by the work.
But yeah, exactly. So it's not the output, it's how much time you spent doing it. Like if you go to a lawyer, you know, obviously that time is very expensive and you're paying by the hour, not really for what he's providing or she or she's providing you.
Right. Yeah, someone at work had made like a little doll and it was so cute and it was like so detailed. And I was like, oh my gosh, you could sell these, you know, like anytime you want. And she's like, I'd have to sell them for like $500 to get the time back for how long it took to create it. And obviously there would be people who would still want it, but would it be worth her time to do it? Right. Like, could she make a living off of that, you know?
I think you may have just stumbled on what led to Henry Ford's system of productivity and why that became a thing.
Is it because there's more people, though? Is that why we have to get stuff done more quickly? You know, like if you have to produce, like, like an automobile, you have to produce them quick enough because there's so many people who need them now. You know, but would that have been as important, you know, like a carriage maker? How long does it take to make a carriage? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'm just saying, like, but there wasn't as many people buying them. So he could spend his time making this beautiful piece of, you know, craftsmanship or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you just lived in a small
town or village or something,
and you're dealing with maybe 100 people, they may realize that I'm going to have to wait 6 months for this guy to make this table and chair for me. And he may only make 3 or 4 a year for people. But once the world gets smaller, and then innovation and ingenuity and mass production become a thing, it keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Like, we couldn't live like that anymore, even if we wanted to, because there's just too many of us. So we couldn't wait for months for something like that.
Yes. You know? And we already now have the, I think, as we've talked about before, we now have the mandatory 8-hour workday is now part of our lives. And it didn't used to be. I mean, we still had our lives to run, but now we have an 8 hours a day that we have to work, which is forcing us to do other things that we would normally be doing on our own time after the sun's gone down. Mm-hmm. So we have there's still 24 hours in a day, but we've lost the time that we used to be able to, we lost a productive amount of that time to be human beings.
Right.
And since things used to be seasonal and event-based, we may have spent more hours in a day working and certain times of the year.
Yeah, like it'd be like, that's okay, we'll get it done in the summer.
Have slow times a year where they didn't have to work very many hours, so it was living according to the seasons, and we don't have that anymore.
And I think a lot of people, I mean, I kind of have an internal clock. I always set my alarm, like I have like a regular old-fashioned alarm clock. I know a lot of people set their cell phones, but I just have an alarm clock, and I always set it. But I almost always wake up before it's time for it to go off, and I can't even really sleep in, like on a day off anymore. I mean, I might sleep like a half hour later than normal, but I usually can't, you know. But I kind of am one of those people. Nap time is different. I can take a nap during the day, but when it's bright in the morning, I'm up. I'm ready to go. When it gets dark, I'm ready to just not do anything.
Yeah. The natural way to operate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. But when you have to be at work at 6 o'clock before the sun's up.
Right. Right.
Now we're following the artificial timepieces and going against what we should be doing.
And a lot more people work different schedules. I mean, it used to be almost everybody in the world worked during daylight hours. Mm-hmm. And now there's plenty of people that work in evenings or have different shifts. Some researchers said thing that I looked up, it said, for those who have trouble sleeping, researchers say that 1 week without any electronics resets our biological clock and synchronizes our melatonin hormones with sunrise and sunset. So, like, I'm not saying everybody can do that, but if you could, like, go camping or whatever for a week and not have any electronics, and basically when it's dark, you go to bed.
How long did you say? A week?
A week. 1 week. And it sets it back right.
I bet that's why they always say that you need to spend at least 10 days or 2 weeks on vacation, because it takes 7 days of getting away from all of that to get back to a normal state of existence, so you can then actually actively relax for a while.
Yeah.
That you need that time period to readjust to a natural way of living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting, like, if anybody lives, like, in a part of the world that has, you know, like, hurricanes or really bad ice storms or snowstorms or whatever, and the power's out, you know, I do notice that, like, it is different. It's, like, getting dark, and you're like, well, it's time for bed, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, baby booms, like, 9 months later because, mm-hmm. you know, people are like, well, it's dark and there's nothing else to do, kind of, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you kind of eat differently, too.
Yes. You eat earlier because eating after the sun's gone down, it feels strange.
Yeah.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
So obviously time is an important element in different societies and cultures. And as, you know, we kind of discussed, more economically developed countries have a very different view of time than less economically developed countries. So economically developed countries are more fast paced, and a lot of ones who aren't are more family and socially oriented, so they don't really live by time. They live by community and family.
Mm-hmm.
Western cultures measure time by the clock, so each activity has a precise beginning and end. So everything you do, you have a start time and an end time. And in Eastern cultures, they're more event or personality related, so time doesn't interfere with their own judgment. So if someone, for instance, if you schedule a meeting in Eastern cultures and someone has a family conflict, they have to do something with their family or something comes up, they prolong the meeting and have a good get together later so that that person can deal with their more important issue.
Mm-hmm.
Tardiness is not a big deal in a lot of the cultures who aren't as time oriented as the U.S. is, because they don't measure time by the clock. So if you're late, it's not even acknowledged. It just means, well, you were doing something else and now you're here.
Would they manage that more on a an idea of respect? You know, like...
Like, I respect that you had something else you were doing or finishing.
Well, no, I mean, like, we all agreed to get this thing done today. You're not here when the rest of us were here.
Right.
It's not like you were late. It's like you're holding us up. That's not cool.
Yeah, there's none of that. Because it
try to arrive earlier in the morning next time.
Yeah, a lot. Latin American countries operate this way, and this, if you're late, it's not a big deal. And it's because they just don't see, they don't add a value to time like the U.S. does. So you haven't lost anything by somebody being a little bit late.
I think for me, it would like depend on what it was. You know what I mean? Like, I get what you're saying. In some cultures, it just, everybody's cool with it. But I think for like us, like living when we do, where we do, like, I think if it's a party and you want to get there late, that's on you. You just miss part of the party, like you're saying, you know. But I right. think if it's like work and everybody else is getting there at a certain time and you've decided it's not for me, you know, being mm-hmm. there right at whatever time everybody else is, that I think that's a difference, you know, like, and I think that's just living in modern times. Yeah. Like, there's no getting around it.
Well, I think the demand would be different too, where... So more of like a demand on your time thing. So like if a group of people are going to get together in the morning to get work done, if they're not all there together doing it, they're not being as productive. So it's probably more important. It's not like someone is showing up to wait tables. You know, they're getting together to work the field or build a thing mm-hmm. or whatever. So they know that we are all going to get here at the same time. Right. Or we know we're going to get here as early as possible after we've had our breakfast. Well, they really didn't really have big breakfast back then either, did they?
Pretty fast, pretty on the go, I think.
So we're gonna get out there and get to working as quick as we can all together, and it's to everyone's mutual benefit to be here as early as you can be here. But then say on the weekend or whatever, if there's gonna be a big event, you know, we'll see you at the party, just as long as you're there whenever you're,
right.
you're there.
Yeah.
Or when you
that used, I would be cool with. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
or when you used to date ourselves, when you used to meet your friends at the mall on Friday night, you didn't say, let's meet at the mall at 5 o'clock. Right. You just knew at some point in the night you right. would see these people there.
Because unless, that only affects you, really. You yes. know, if it's just a get together, that really only affects you if you're late. But if it's something important, like, then.
Yes. I don't know. Exactly. There's a difference for me. I can tell how things have changed with the amount of things that there are now to do with all our, you know, our cable TV and the different streaming services. It's not like there's really a time of the day anymore where, like, there's nothing on right now with the news. I'm going to go do something else.
Right.
Or there's nothing on right now but reruns and The Late Show.
Right.
I'm going to go to sleep. That everything has a time now. Like, so I remember back in the day, if you were going to go meet someone, all right, we'll meet up Friday night at such and so bar, and you would do so. Now it's literally, what time are you going to be there?
Yeah.
And then you're even feeling rushed. Like last night, went to meet some friends. Like, I got to get there by 6:30. Why did I didn't have to be there at 6:30, but my thoughts were, I don't want to be late. But if I got there at 6:45 and someone else got there at 7, or you would all have been there.
Right.
It's, I don't know. It's like the clock has added a strange rigidity to relax to what should be relaxing behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Even the person we met up with last night seemed very like there were some other folks he wanted to talk to as well, but seemed like, well, I've set this time to meet with you guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, we're in a big social setting.
Right.
Go chat. You know, it's everything just feels so formalized even when you're relaxing. Mm-hmm. And I blame the clock.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Yeah. Cause you also recall before we had the cell phone strapped to our bodies at all times, it has the clock on it. Some people didn't wear watches. You know, if you were going to go out and if it didn't match your decor, you just didn't have a watch on and you would look at the bank, you know, outside or wherever there was a clock, or you would ask someone, hey, what time is it?
So maybe we're not good at switching that off. Like maybe I do still feel very strongly that like work related time is important if we're all supposed to be doing something. But yeah, for like social things, it's not as important. So why is that still a carryover?
I think because we've realized now that much the same way, and that no one really enjoys Sundays like we used to, because we know it's the last day before work. So you're counting down to the inevitable of relaxing time being over with.
Yeah.
So you're constantly watching your clock through the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting stuff done on a Saturday. Let me check the clock. Oh, it's already 4. I need to go do this because I'm almost out of time. It's going to be Sunday, and then it's almost Monday, so you're constantly rushing.
Would a third day off a week help with that?
No, because you'd always have to go back to work at some point.
But if we could change our mentality to not be linear, then we would realize that another weekend is going to cycle around again and not panic.
And that's why people got so jacked up when they were allowed to telework, because, yeah, I mean, there were, for a lot of people, there were, you need to log in by this certain time, so I know you're there, and you're going to log out by this time, but beyond that, not having everyone watch where you are at all times, people got more task-oriented again. So I'm going to get up at 8:30 and log in and knock this task out. And however long it takes me to get it done, it gets done. So they're, you know, in the early days of it, it wasn't really toward the end when people started being forced to go back to work that the productivity started to dip. But productivity actually increased quite a bit. A lot of that had to do with the fact that so many people being at home, that managers managers and directors were so worried about their people goofing off that they started doing a lot of make work projects. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a lot of productivity did occur because there was a lot more things they were being given to do, and yet the other work was not slipping, and people didn't dread as much. They had the pandemic and then the potential of dying and going on outside to dread, but work didn't become that thing anymore.
Yeah.
Because I remember being quite relaxed. I mean, I was kind of annoyed at the new tasks that would come up, but it wasn't like, I wasn't worried about staying up a little later. I wasn't worried about if I get up a little later. Work was no longer a cause of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to enjoy the weekends more,
I think.
How many times do we all just meet up in the middle of the day to go walk?
Yeah, a ton.
And didn't freak out about, oh, someone's going to want to know where I am.
Well, so me and another coworker did have to go in to work to like take care of it because it was outdoors, so we had to take care of stuff. But we didn't like get there at the exact time we usually did and stay until when we decided to meet.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like, let's get here around this time, and we'd get whatever done we got done. And then when we were finished, we just went home, you know, so it was still getting done, but we didn't have to be there for the whole time. And it was a little bit more relaxing.
Yeah, I think Jamie is correct. The world's complete mentality would have to change to go back to a product-based existence.
I won't change my mind on anything, regardless of the facts that are set out before me. I'm dug in.
Well, a lot of these cultures that are more laid back and more, you know, task-oriented, they're called polychronic, which means they don't stick to rigid schedules, so they don't rigidly schedule meetings and times to meet up and that type of thing. They're event and family-focused, and they multitask. But what we operate on is a monochronic system where we take everything we do one thing at a time. So, like I said, a beginning time and an ending time to a task, and then we do another task. So we're very task-oriented, but we do all our tasks one at a time. And we make plans for all of our future tasks.
Lists,
so there's,
right?
Like, three different ways that societies operate as far as, like, marking time and eras, too. There's past-oriented cultures who stick to their past achievements, so places like Italy in China that have like a very storied, rich past, they stick to those past achievements and they obtain new ones by relying on knowledge of their past events. So they're constantly referencing back to things that have already happened. Present-oriented cultures are those ones who are a little bit more laid back. What happened in the past should stay there, and they don't worry about future events. So like a lot of African countries and Latin American countries operate that way.
Living in the moment.
Mm-hmm, living in the moment. Which seems preferable to me. But the U.S. and Japan and a few other countries are in Northern Europe, are future-oriented. So we live our lives by the clock. We live in the present to the fullest and orient everything we do towards future events. So I'm going to plan my vacation. I'm going to plan my meetings. You have to schedule everything ahead of time and think constantly, how is this going to get me towards my future goal?
Right, and your future goal is usually retiring so you don't have to work anymore.
Yeah.
So you spend all of your time planning and preparing to not have to work when you could just not work, right?
Yeah.
Or move to a type of mentality, like you were saying, where work becomes part of your life and it's not a separate thing. That would involve taking that 8-hour rigid work day away.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of the different cultures I was looking up, a lot of these articles included language, because in these cultures where people really live in the moment or don't see time in a linear way, a lot of times they don't have words for certain time events like Western cultures do. So sometimes, like with the Hopi language, there are no tenses to their verbs. So there's no past action or future action or present action. It's just a verb. So they have like a word for sooner and a word for later, but that's about as time oriented as you get. And then there was an African culture, I can't remember which one it was, I'll have to look it up again, who thought that the past is what is in front of your face and what you're looking at because you've seen it already and you know what it looks like. But the future is behind your head and you can't see it or ever know what's going to happen. So they don't worry about the future because you can't see it. One of the articles I read said that this stems back to the, it was kind of instilled in us because, as in America, we're also obviously predominantly Christian and predominantly Protestant, I would say, within that. And the Protestant work ethic says that working time equals success. So all the time you spent working, you are being successful. If you're being idle, you are not reaching success. And I think that got instilled in Americans very early on in the development of the country, and it just held on. And that's why we have all these terms in America that talk about time specifically, like wasting time, spending time, budgeting time, because we just can't bear to lose time or be idle. We always have to like equate everything we're doing to how much time it takes.
And there's got to be a happy medium. Like you can't just veg out all day and like lay about and not get anything done and not prepare for retirement, right? And not not get your house clean on your day off and think, you know what I mean? Like there are things that you just have to be a grown up and get done, but it can't be the sole focus. Like,
yeah, I think that's another one of those strange, unexplained things when it comes to telling time or the passage of time or how you perceive how time operates. Because say you have a day off and you can spend it doing whatever you want to do. You can lay on the couch and watch television all day long, and you are focused on this show and you're in this world, and say you've got it on the Netflix and the new one pops up every 40 minutes, time is being forced on you. Time is telling you how to feel at that point. You're like, oh, another 40 minutes is by. Oh, another 40 minutes just went by. Because that is your world right then. Whereas, on the not saying one of these is right or wrong, just saying, but another way could be, you get up and you go out and you work on something that you are generating yourself. So, like, on my birthday, when I went outside and built the raised, yeah. Not my birthday, whenever it was, and I went outside and built that thing, and I worked outside in the sun, and I took a run, and I ate outside, and I did all that stuff. I felt like I had just been at it all day long, mm-hmm. and then went inside, and it was only like 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, this is great. And it wasn't until I went in and checked the time when I thought, oh, wow, time moved by really slowly. And then after that, it felt like it was sunset already. Yeah. Like, if I had just not ever even worried about what time right. it was and just kept on with my day, I don't think right. I would have ever acknowledged it. And I feel like I would have started to have gotten tired as the sun was going down. Right. And it would have just been a perfect
naturally come in.
Segue. Whereas if you're engaged in something very passive, a passive activity, mm-hmm. And you've probably dozed off a few times during said right. passive activity. That's what happens to me. And then you look up and it's like 6 o'clock and you just feel gross. And yeah.
Like you've wasted your day.
And I've wasted my day.
Wasted time. Yes. Yeah. Why does it seem like when you were a kid that time passed differently for different things? Or why do we say stuff like, why is it that it feels like time does fly when you're having fun? Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. like, well, if you're excited about something, it takes forever for Christmas, or it takes forever for that mm-hmm. family vacation. But like mm-hmm. when you're grown up, it's just, I don't know. Like, I'm like, crap, it's 3 days till Christmas, you know, or something.
I think it's one of those things that has been studied and has something to do with the neural pathways in your brain. So like when you're younger, because if you really think about, you know, family vacation or being excited for Christmas, that kind of started petering out around probably age 12, mm-hmm. I would imagine. And you really weren't even probably really aware of it. I said petering out, I didn't say over. You really weren't truly even really aware of it until maybe like age 5. Mm-hmm. So let's say you maybe had 10 years of this thing until your brain was finally like, okay, this is routine.
Yeah.
I know this is coming now.
Right.
Whereas before, your brain just really wasn't used to it.
Is it because you didn't have concept of time and calendars and stuff when you're really little? Like when you're really little, I don't remember ever looking at a damn calendar.
As you get older and you experience things more and more, it just starts flying by quicker because that internal anticipation isn't there.
Okay. You get used to it.
Which is why they suggest that, you know, as you get older, you should start doing things like learning a second language, something completely different that you've never done before. And it causes time to feel like it is now slowed down because your brain is like, oh, wait, we're not on autopilot anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have to really adapt and figure this new thing out for a certain chunk of time in a day. Which is why some people say, you know, if you're an active reader, if you read all the time, they say that, you know, makes time go by quicker for you. Like, oh my God, I've read 3 chapters.
Yes. And then yes. When gone. I get really into a book, I can't believe how time flies. Mm-hmm.
But those who don't read a lot mm-hmm. talk about how, like, when they, you know, sit down to read a book and they get through the thing, or not through a thing, but it's like they feel like time has slowed down for them. So I'm going to get up and I'm going to read a book this morning for a couple hours, and that couple hours feels much longer than it does for an avid reader.
Hmm. You ever take it off any sweet jumps?
You know, we touched on the fact that, you know, here in America, we use linear time. So everything, history, you know, current activities, everything we're doing is in line. So, you know, the idea of timeline, everything is measured according to this constant line that is marching forward. And I think that's why that time gets roped into that, you know. It's just, mm-hmm. we never look back. It's always just marching forward along that line. But in a lot of indigenous cultures and Eastern cultures, time is cyclical and everything is in tune with nature, which is why attitudes are a lot more laid back in general about workflow and time passing and that type of thing. So each day the sun rises and sets, seasons follow the same pattern, every year. Planets and stars move around us in the same way. People grow old and die, and then children are raised to take their place. So there's not really a rush, because everything you're doing is going to be reached again, because time is moving in a circle. Everything comes back again. So there's periods of reflection. Like, if you have to make a decision, for instance, like, a lot of times, you know, cultural misunderstandings happen because we want a decision immediately because our time is so valuable. Mm. But if you're talking to somebody from one of these other cultures, they have to have a period of reflection. So they have to move through a natural cycle of time and ruminate on something and reflect on it before they finish or come to a decision or whatever. So a lot of Hinduist and Buddhist and, you know, other indigenous religions around the world operate this way. So they're less disciplined in their planning for the future because they know that everything's going to come around again.
They don't worry as much.
Yeah, which seems pretty awesome to me.
So what keeps people from just operating that way?
Society.
What keeps an whatever individual society. I mean, what keeps an individual from just realizing that and operating?
I think that when way? You're part of a society, you have to operate within the constraints to a certain extent.
Right, to a certain extent. But there should be some way to implant that other reality into your head of, like, I'm going to operate based on what society wants me to do for the 8 hours I'm required to be somewhere for a paycheck. Outside of that, I'm realizing that time is cyclical and none of this matters.
Yeah, I do. You do have to have a balance. I mean, because whether we like it or not, we do live when we live, where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only do something about part of that, as far as I know.
Until you retire.
Or you could move to a place that is less focused on it, but you can't.
You can join a cult or a commune.
You could.
Yeah, but I do like showers, though.
And doing what I want, so that would be that. Can you even take slippers to a commune?
I don't like Kool-Aid or sneakers.
Well, if you start your own commune, you can be as nice as you want it to be. No one says you have to live like a dirty hippie.
Is there a commune like that there's not a lot of people? Like, where you could just have a couple of folk that you like and maybe even banish them when you don't want to see them?
Ah, poor guy. I understand. It ain't easy being banished.
You didn't see nothing about incense clocks.
Like I said, it wasn't an episode about clocks. It was an episode about telling time and how time passes. And
I looked up a lot about clocks, just so you know.
Well, if you got some interesting stuff about clocks you want to talk about, feel free.
Personal in people's homes, they used incense clocks in China.
Cool.
All I really wanted to make known about the clock was that at one point mankind felt the need to create a device to make time tangible. And to break down into smaller increments of the natural passage of time. Why that occurred? Was there something more nefarious behind it having to happen? Or was it just the natural progression of how society has developed?
I wonder if it was just some smart dude that just, like, figured it out and just wanted to create it just to be like, isn't this cool? And then other people that were like, we can use this to manipulate. Yeah. Oh, well.
Freaking Greeks.
We Greeks are the chosen, the elect. Our culture is the best. Our civilization the best. Our men the best.
Now watch.
All right. Well, that was a good conversation, everyone. We'll be back with you sometime next week, I guess. Next season, we'll talk more about the next season later, but please check out our social medias where we have put a call out to everyone. If you have had any strange encounters with any sort of creatures you can't identify, please shoot us a message on one of our social media accounts or at the Window Light Podcast and at any one of them, or email us at windowlightpodcast@protonmail.com. Everyone say goodbye.
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 Okay, goodbye.
You're out of time.